Aaron wasn't exaggerating, seriously. Happy Nurses Week. I'm so honored to be here tonight and share my story with you, and as an added bonus, to be among these incredible presenters. I mean, seriously, this is an honor to be one of these guys. Such heartwarming and touching stories. My story is not about me, although I witnessed it from the beginning to the end. It's about one of our ICU nurses whom I would call Grace. It's not her real name. The characters in my stories are anonymous. But before I get to the story, I'd like to tell you a little bit of background about how this all came to being and why I chose this particular anecdote. And I can imagine that this may bring back some unpleasant memories for some of us, recent memories. But I think this background puts the story on a larger map and it gives it more context. My storytelling started at the beginning of the pandemic, the beginning of Delta Wave, to be more exact, when I realized I was witnessing unbelievable stories inside the walls of the ICU and beyond. These stories need to be told. Unfortunately, while we healthcare workers were in high gear for a sustained period of time, doing everything we could to save as many lives as we could with the limited tools that we had at the time until we saw the back of the pandemic, a very small but significant portion of our society were spreading outrageous conspiracy theories and health misinformation. They were treating the pandemic not as what it really was, a novel, deadly, infectious disease, but rather as a political, social, or cultural event. And we didn't have a lot of control over several things, many things during the pandemic, but we had control over a lot of things, such as well-established scientific rules for infectious disease that have been working since 1800s. And by ignoring those, we saw the devastating consequences of that. And we, healthcare workers inside the healthcare setting, were the key witnesses of what was happening. Starting with sheer volume of high acuity patients that stretched our healthcare system thinner and thinner. The physical and emotional burden on our staff in the hospital setting. And more importantly, the human loss, which was out of proportion with what we've ever seen before. And this was completely unbearable for us. And I remember one of our ICU nurses once told me, and that stuck with me until today, that every loss of human life leaves a tiny little scar in our hearts, and it adds up. So I found it not as an opportunity, but rather an obligation to do something about it. So I started to by sharing my stories and raising awareness. I was hoping that I can positively impact the course of the pandemic by changing behavior. During my off-duty hours, I started to write down these stories, pairing them with a conceptual photography project that I was pursuing at the same time, such as the image that you can see related to this current story. And soon after, I realized I have enough material that I can sort and categorize them into one of these three groups: patient stories, family member stories, and staff stories. And to give you just a very abbreviated and heavily, heavily dialed down version of the true story, patient stories include patients who are asking for that third or fourth last phone call to tell their families how much they love them while we were preparing to put them on a breathing machine because they failed all the other tools. And at the same time, we were observing the oxygen saturation on the monitor as it was dropping further and further until we had to intervene and save their lives by putting them on a breathing machine, knowing well that at that point, only one in two patients would survive. So the last phone call they were requesting had a different meaning in that scenario. Patient family stories include the story of role exchange. And I'm sure many of you have witnessed the same situation where at the beginning of the pandemic, it was mostly adult children coming to say goodbye to their elderly, more vulnerable parents. But a few months into the vaccination rollout, the role completely reversed, and it was mostly elderly vaccinated parents coming and watching from behind the glass doors their unvaccinated adult children, previously perfectly functional members of the society, breadwinners of families of five and six, perish from COVID, which by that point was an almost entirely preventable disease. And then there was the staff experiences, and I have quite a few of those. To give you an example, the story of my colleagues who said they used their cars as their safe space in the parking lot of the hospital to cry and then get their act together, and how they did it twice a day, once to show their best possible face at work and then at home. Because anything less than showing our best possible face is not an option. One of my friends once told me, you need to make a coffee table book with your stories. And I responded, you mean a cocktail table book, right? In fact, before I came on the stage, I checked in the back and I realized there's nowhere near enough wine and beer to get us all through one of these heavy-duty stories. So, and besides, this is a week of celebration and appreciation, so I thought I choose a story that is uplifting, and it's about our strength that is best represented by our nursing staff. Whether, no matter where they are, ED, ICU, outpatient setting, inpatient, or elsewhere. A story that makes me believe that even if we are dealt the worst possible cards, such as during the pandemic, we still have one magic card in our sleeves that trumps everything else, our humanity. Now the story. We all remember too well the donning and doffing, how cumbersome it was. For the non-medical guests in the audience, donning and doffing refers to putting on and taking off personal protective equipment, such as gowns, masks, hats, etc. At the beginning, before the vaccination rollout, that was probably the most effective tool we had to protect us against getting infected when we care for active COVID patients. But donning and doffing is cumbersome and time-consuming and makes for a ton of extra work. And that's particularly relevant for the nursing and respiratory staff who have to enter and exit the patient's room multiple times a day. One day I was reviewing electronic medical records in the ICU when suddenly a ventilator keeping one of our very sick COVID patients alive accidentally disconnected. The ventilator alarm went off, but it wasn't the noisy sound of the alarm that made us very nervous. It was the fact that we knew in a patient with so little respiratory reserves, it would take them not minutes, but seconds for the oxygen level to drop so much that their heart will stop. The respiratory therapist was in a different patient room, and before I even could find, let alone assemble my equipment, one of our nurses, Grace, donned her gear, rushed into the patient's room, and reconnected the patient to the ventilator just in time to prevent a certain cardiac arrest. Our nurse's compassionate care is no surprise to me, but what took me by surprise it took Grace just about 3 seconds to put her gown on and tie it behind her back, something that is only possible if it's done dozens of times a day. And some of you may think that what's the big deal, because you can do it. And after several years of pandemic, I still cannot do that. It's I don't have any visual assistance, and everything is the other way. And after trying 10 times, I asked the next person who was walking by, can you tie me in the back? I know what you're thinking. So he can't tie his gown behind his back. He can't draw. What kind of physician is he? But it wasn't about you know the tying itself. It I mean the skills the training the everything else comes with practice. It was about the compassion and dedication that Grace showed. We all know that nurses are key members of the care delivery team, but if anyone had any doubt, the pandemic made it crystal clear that nurses, more than anyone else, protect and defend the very thin line between life and death. So it was no surprise to me that just in March of this year, just 2 months ago, an annual national survey was published that showed nursing is the most trusted profession in the United States. And that for the 21st year in a row. So the point about the compassion is that we all know what was going on in that situation, and what happened after that, it was about going through several stages of of a pandemic and how it all worked out. So my point was that it wasn't about Grace cutting the corners. She still followed all the checklists of putting the gown. It was the fact that she rushed through the room knowing that she had to do what was the best, and she didn't care about putting her life at risk by getting infected. So if the next pandemic comes, knowing this kind of stories, I know as long as we have Grace and hundreds of thousands like Grace, we should be just fine. Thank you.